Hello, I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for September 30th, 2015. In this show, I'll be speaking with Blythe Sather, Guillermo Romano Ibarra, Andy Scherenberg, and David Rawlings from the Seattle Children's Research Institute about a method that they've developed to efficiently engineer human T cells using homologous recombination. It's been previously shown that specific genes in T cells can be disrupted by introducing a break in the DNA in that gene and then allowing the break to heal through a natural repair mechanism called non-homologous end-joining. A group led by Andy Scherenberg and David Rawlings has developed a new method for modifying genes in T cells that instead relies on an alternative DNA repair process called homologous recombination. This new method is an improvement because it can be used not just to disrupt a gene, but also to insert new information into a specific site in the genome. This technique makes it possible to think about using genetically engineered T cells to treat disease. Here on the line with me now are Drs. Sather, Romano Ibarra, Scherenberg, and Rawlings. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine Podcast.
Hello.
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 Homologous recombination is widely used to make knockouts and knock-ins in mice. In that procedure, the DNA that you want to insert into the genome is flanked by sequences that will target it to a specific site in the genome, and then that's put into cells. Then the natural process of homologous recombination inserts that DNA into the right place. Why is that method not really useful for therapeutically engineering T cells?
I would say the problem with using the same methods that have been used in the past for making mouse knockouts is that they're very, very inefficient.
Andy Scherenberg.
And what we do is we take advantage of the fact that when you make a break in DNA, a double-strand break, that kind of a lesion in DNA is repaired by homologous recombination, and that makes the integration process at the site of a double-strand break somewhere between 3 and 4 logs more efficient than the classic spontaneous homologous recombination-based targeting. So that's how we're able to achieve the very high efficiencies that we were able to in the study that's been published in Science Translational Medicine.
When you're making a knockout mouse, you only need to get one of the copies of the gene replaced. You only need to make a heterozygous replacement because then you cross those mice to one another to generate your homozygotes. But for therapeutic purposes, you need a homozygous replacement.
Yeah, so for making a mouse knockout, you have the luxury of being able to screen through individual colonies that are grown from single cells to find those cells that have exactly the targeting that you want. When we're making cells for therapeutic purposes, we have a limited time window to make our manipulations. So we need our manipulations to happen very efficiently so that we have a large population of cells that we can then take and engraft back in a patient to try to achieve a desired therapeutic effect.
Guillermo, can you briefly describe your approach?
What we do similar to other groups is we're transfecting simulated T cells from healthy donors or potentially from patients with mRNA nucleases. And so this allows us to get a very high level of expression of the nuclease for a short period of time. And then what we're doing differently to change the way that that double-stranded break is repaired is we're delivering a repair template. And so we're using adeno-associated virus, or AAV, which is a non-integrating viral vector, to deliver a sequence of DNA that codes for a gene that we want to knock into the CCR5 locus. And that gene is flanked by regions of homology to the gene that we're trying to locate it. And so in some ways, you can think about it as it's localized to the right area, and then the double-stranded break is repaired with that gene of interest. And so we get seamless integration of our gene. And when we do this with a reporter gene, we can get about 60% by flow cytometry expression. And so we've been able to do this with reporter genes, but also with gene cassettes that have therapeutic relevance. So we've knocked in a number of chimeric antigen receptors, as well as a fusion inhibitor for HIV. So there's several different applications that we could use with this technology.
The nuclease that you're expressing in the cells, does that just cleave DNA randomly?
No, so our nuclease has two recognition sites. So we have one with the DNA binding, the tau binding domain, and then also our catalytic domain also has a binding recognition. It recognizes the sequence that it's targeting.
Blythe, why didn't you just use CRISPR-mediated gene editing?
Well, at the time in the lab, we were primarily working with megatal nucleases and TALENs as our primary platform for nuclease-mediated double-stranded breaks. But the downstream applications and protocols can be used in any platform that initiates a efficient double-strand break. So this can be used by using the CRISPR-Cas9 system, and several groups have found that this process can work in a similar manner with that platform.
David, how could you use T-cells that are engineered in this way to treat disease?
Well, in this manuscript that we've published, we focused on applications in patients with chronic HIV infection. And there we've shown that we can introduce gene cassettes that could do a variety of different things, including ones which would target the infected viral reservoir. Also, we've introduced chimeric antigen receptors that would be useful in patients who had malignancies associated with chronic HIV, for example, targeting B-cell malignancies using a chimeric antigen receptor. We also, in the paper, showed that if we introduce a peptide that blocks the other specificity of HIV, which doesn't utilize CCR5, we can make a cell that would be uninfectable by HIV through either receptor type. So these are applications that could be directly translated into clinical trials in the near future for HIV. We're really excited about this technology because it can be much more broadly applied across a whole range of immune disorders where you would want to engineer T cells. And this could be in genetic disorders impacting T cell function, or it could be in making T cell effector function better against cancer. And one area in particular that we're already actively pursuing is looking at whether we could manipulate T cells in a way that we can make them therapeutically effective in various autoimmune disorders, and also in applications where we could improve organ transplant tolerance, for example. You know, we already have projects in place that are looking at a range of different things, and I'm sure with this technology, working with essentially any nuclease platform, that investigators all around the world will apply it in a range of T-cell applications.
Could the technique be applied to different cells other than T-cells?
Yeah, absolutely. And in the manuscript, we show some initial data applying it actually to hematopoietic stem cells, where obviously being able to do homologous recombination for genetic disorders would be enormously beneficial. And that's something that our group and many other groups are particularly interested in, and we're trying to make this technology work better in that setting. At this point, not quite as efficient as it is in T cells, but it's significantly more efficient than what's been described previously. But also, we know this will work in other primary cell types as well. And so I think the difference there would be identifying which adeno-associated virus serotype, for example, would be best for which cell type to deliver it to. But I think the mRNA delivery will be fairly straightforward in most primary cell types, and then it's going to be how do you optimize the delivery of the donor template in particular cell types.
Thanks, everyone, for speaking with me, and thanks for a great paper.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
our pleasure.
Thank you very much.
It's
great.
That was Blythe Sather, Guillermo Romano Ibarra, Andy Scherenberg, and David Rawlings from the Seattle Children's Research Institute. You can read their paper in the September 30th issue of Science Translational Medicine by going to our website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.